became aware of the power of conversation when I was a stay-at-home mom of three preschoolers. Friends would call and I'd talk their ears off, desperate for adult communication. If I remember correctly, some of them quit calling. When the children became teenagers, I loved driving them wherever they needed to go, as when there was no eye contact, they were much more open and talkative, giving me an important view into their worlds.
Too much of living, breathing, and being alone opened that window specifically with Agnes. When deep in the ugly grays of winter, I called her out of the blue to ask if she would simply phone me for just 1 week for 5 minutes, just to ask me what I was doing for the day, so I could talk to someone, hear another voice. Note, loneliness being one of our conversational themes over the last year, to make my long story even longer, before long it was Agnes who suggested that our 5 minute sound checks were actually interesting, and going on for 20-30 minutes, we would just take off. I firmly believe that conversation saves us. It heals and reveals.
And now, as a boomer who doesn't have any interest in retiring, I am rejuvenated, replenished by conversation. I'm cognizant of the power and the importance of both conversation and story. And Suleika, I appreciate always being able to exchange ideas, thoughts, and words with you.
Well, one other thing. Whenever I mention that our podcast is called The Lost Art of Conversation, the response is always positive. There's always an emotional response of, oh, great, that's a great idea. So going with that, let's go with it.
Let's go. Hello?
Yeah, that's better. There you are.
Here I am.
So how was the rest of the weekend?
Well, I ended up going home. We got quite a bit done. Oh my God, I must have walked. I think I walked like 12,000 steps on what day? Saturday with Noah, because she fell asleep. Finally, she had such a bad night the night, like Friday night. Oh, poor kid and poor kids. So they went, and the moving truck was going to be there at 8 or 8:30 or something. So we were up super early and back to the apartment. And the truck was there. And once again, there was a bunch of stuff that just didn't go right. But that's okay. It's finished. And so Noah finally fell asleep in the stroller. So I just kept on walking. She slept for like an hour and a half, which was she needed so desperately. Anyways, so, you know, it's at a stage now where they're just going to sit tight and do nothing this week in terms of they're at their little basement suite. And then on Sunday or Monday, they get the keys to a one-bedroom apartment in the same block. And they'll put a few things in there, let Noah have the bedroom so that she just, you know, settles and has some of her own stuff around and doesn't wake up in the night and see them. Because when she sees them in the same room, of course, then it's like, oh, it's playtime. Mommy and Poppy are here. Anyways, yeah, today's just a lazy day. They took a family day yesterday, and then today Ruben's back at work. But Heather and Noah are just at the park right now, a park nearby.
Park nearby you?
Excuse me. No, a park nearby that little basement suite they're in.
Got it. Right. Yeah. So they have 1 week there, and then on the 16th or something, they're moving into another place.
Well, it's in the old block. It's in the same block as their home is.
Right.
And it's a one bedroom, which they'll be able to live in for the next probably couple of months until their big suite, their two bedroom suite, is renovated.
But, so they'll be back in their neighborhood then?
Yeah, they'll back in the same block. So some familiarity for Noah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, they'll be able to get her crib and, you know, some of her stuff set up.
Good.
So she has a little bit of sense of familiarity.
So a slight decrease in chaos.
Oh, yeah. And you know, they can set up a routine, which will be nice.
Well, how's Heather feeling?
You know, amazingly well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure she's tired, but, you know, she's such an optimist, and she just goes with the flow. And tomorrow's their third anniversary, and I just texted her and said, oh, my God, like, what a 3 years it's been for you two.
My. Well, onward and upward. Does this mean that you will not have to go to back, you won't have to come back to Vancouver, or are you coming back this weekend?
I'm not 100% sure yet. They had hoped that Heather's father could help them out, and maybe because he's got like an SUV style of vehicle.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They were hoping that he could maybe go to the storage locker and help Ruben with a few things, like just even a dresser and that sort of stuff that they had to get out of the apartment. But as it turns out, he and his wife are taking off for a couple of weeks. So that ain't going to happen. So we're just going to, I'm on a wait and see thing right now. I'm hoping that life just settles and they'll figure it out. But
if you, you could let me know by tomorrow or Wednesday, because I have to arrange for someone to pick me up at the ferry.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that'll be Saturday, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's 14th, 15th. Okay. I will find out for sure.
Good. Okay. Wednesday at the latest, because I have to arrange with somebody who is a friend of Sharna's who is working, and she's got to put in the schedule. I've let her know that it might come up, but I did want to tell her in plenty of time.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I wasn't even thinking. Yeah. Okay. Yep. No problem at all.
Good. Well, I have some house drama. Of course, this happens just when you're taking off for 10 days. I noticed there's a brown spot on my ceiling that it didn't look like anything. And then overnight, it looked like something. So, of course, it happened on Friday when everybody takes off from the residential managing situation. And so they're coming in today to look at it. But apparently the whatever water heating system they have that's very old sometimes leaks, and that's what happened. So there's water somewhere in there, and so I really don't want people in my apartment for 10 days while I'm gone. I just don't like the idea, but we'll see what happens. They're going to come over in a half an hour.
Given it's just a brown spot, there's no bubble or anything.
Well, there were a couple of bubbles on the wall, and they might have receded because it was just a couple. And I let them know on Friday, and they turned off the water, so it's done.
Oh, okay. So just taking a page out of the kids' book, ask what the likelihood is of there being asbestos behind that paneling, that drywall.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens to the kids in the bathroom. There was the big water bubble, which somebody, not like the restoration people, poked. And that's right. When they were inundated with asbestos. Which then becomes full hazmat.
I believe hazmat. Yes, I do know that about asbestos.
Yeah. So, and especially with, you know, all the stuff you have in your apartment.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you need.
Okay, well, we'll deal with it. Mm-hmm. So that's that. Well, on another topic, what does this mean? I go to see my mom. She's happy. We're going out. She's having a smoke. And she says to me, eyes bright, she says, guess what happened? I said, what? And she said, I grew 6 inches last night. And I said, really? So do any of your clothes fit? I mean, what is this, do you think, preoccupation with, I grew 6 inches. This is the third time she said this in the last year and a half. What's that about?
How old is she now?
88.
No, I mean, how old is she in her brain?
She goes back and forth from clever as a wit, Stephen Colbert style, to sometimes reminiscing about, hey, she's not babyish. She's not gaga. She's not none of that.
Yeah. But I just wonder if there's any chance.
A lovely thing for her. She's excited, but what would that perspective be? I'm curious.
Well, unless somewhere along the way she's, you know, like not really cognizantly or whatever that word is, but she's realized that, as we all do as we age, she has lost a few inches.
Yeah.
And so maybe she has this lovely dream where she gains them all back, plus a few. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
It's curious because, as I say, she's made this pronouncement several times, three times in 18 months. And the first time she did, I tried to find out what it was about, what it was related to. So I would say to her, she said, well, you know, I grew 8 inches last night. Oh. Well, how do you know that? Well, because I looked in the mirror and there I was. I was tall. Uh-huh. So when you looked in the mirror, I'm trying to be cognitive while she's imaginative. And we just didn't get anywhere. It was like,
Well, I wonder if she has just a good sleep and she wakes up feeling energetic.
Yeah.
And so is standing slightly differently in front of the mirror. And she, you know, that brain of hers is interpreting it as she grew.
Well, you know, I told you the other oddity, and I call them oddities, but they're quite amusing, actually. She sees her family on television. She tells me, well, I saw Uncle Norman on television the other day. Or she sees people who have died on television. And she's mm-hmm. always remarking, well, I saw him on television. And I'm just so curious about that. It's like a whole new world somehow of perception.
Well, my grandma used to dream that people that had passed came to visit her in her dreams.
Yeah.
So I wonder if your mom is practical enough to know that she says, oh, I dreamed and they were talking to me, that you're going to go like, oh, you're losing it. So if she saw them on TV, then that's a logical thing.
That's not her. She is earth-bound simple. I mean, she doesn't, I wouldn't guess that at all. I'm just, the television thing is just a curiosity. It's like a movie or something in her head. And maybe that's, I don't know. I'm curious. I want to know more about how it's all working in there, but... No, she's a cipher, you know, enigmatic Virgo type. So I'll never really know. But...
What are you saying about Virgos?
But I like them very much. I'm also tremendously amused by the fact that my mother has been, I would say, one of the most difficult communicators in my life. I've never confided in her in anything ever in my world. All of the things I've gone through, I did not confide in her because she wasn't really available. And that's okay. I love her now and we're fine. But she is enigmatic. That's the word. And you're not. You're straightforward. But you are. You remind me of that simple, straightforward, ground level, grounded, earthy, let's go from point A to point B type. And it's amusing to me because I'd never thought that I would enjoy so much the pushes and pulls of that earthy situation.
Oh, I may be earthy, but there's a whole bunch of mud and lava underneath the surface.
Oh, I know that. You are a cat, for sure. Yeah. So yeah. She's in good shape. She's fine.
Yeah. And I sometimes think, my mother, I don't think I ever told her anything of importance either. And I'm wondering if that wasn't a generational thing. My latest blog post, I was talking about multi-generationalism. And one of the women actually said that, you know, like parents just weren't as, I don't know, into the next generations as, for example, we are.
I agree.
You know, so it was just sort of this process that happened and, you know, they were the birthing vehicle and whatever, but, you know, they weren't as into their children and excited by their grandchildren. And
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And my day with my mother is always an adventure. And I'm just so glad that she's in good spirits. She's really in good spirits. That makes all the difference.
And, you know, like, I mean, do you ever journal some of the stuff that goes down with your mom?
Oh, I journal every day, and then I write stories every day.
Yeah. Because I was just thinking, too, I mean, the next book, well, a book up the road, is going to be my walk with dementia.
Well, I already have one section of my portfolio devoted to one day at the old folks' home. And it's all the things I've talked about with you. And it's the 600-word thing. It's, you know, my mother walking down the hall. She's carrying a new white purse. I wonder where she got that white purse. And finding out up close that it's her catheter bag. And she's hung it over her arm because she doesn't like it hanging from her leg. I don't want anybody to know, she says.
Well, the thing is, too, though, that, you know, like, it's probably so healthy for her to have you roll and even be amused with all of these weird, demented idiosyncrasies that are arising. Because, you know, some people would be mortified to see their mother walking up the hall
Really?
With a catheter bag. Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. You know, so.
Well, that's funny. I never even thought of that.
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised. The denial that some people go through.
Oh, that makes it particularly cumbersome to continue walking down the hall because you're carrying so much stuff on your shoulders. No, she's a kick in the pants. That's a compliment. What else is new? Yes, I'm just getting ready for my trip, and I'm excited, and I talked to my friend before she left, and everything's good, and it'll be nice to have a little break, I think.
Mm-hmm. So are you there for 10 days then?
I am.
Okay. I misunderstood.
She's coming back on the 22nd. That's a Saturday. That's why I wanted to do this on the 14th, if we can. I hope
yeah.
we do.
Yeah.
So she comes back on the 22nd, and she just wanted to debrief with me for a couple of days. So I'm staying until the 24th.
Yeah. So now you said you want to do this on the 14th. We're doing it on the 15th, are we not?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
We are.
Okay. Indeed. Okay. Just want to be sure because I had changed it from the 14th to the 15th.
That's
so.
Right. You did. Because I have something on the 14th for sure. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, it's really, I'm looking forward to being in their home because, they built it when Robert was still alive, and all kinds of stories. Every time I came up to Comox, when I was traveling once a month there 3 years ago, I would use his car, get into Nanaimo. He'd say, borrow my car. I'd use his car while I was going to Comox. I did all my stuff. And his car was a big old Lincoln. I think you saw it. You saw that big old car. It was yellow. It was a light yellow. Huge. When you were living in that big rambling house out there. But I used to call it the living room. So big to drive around. And he was an artist and probably my closest artist buddy. And a fine photographer, worked at MoMA in New York in the day, was the guy who set up the King Tut exhibit, which was the first international exhibit the world has ever known, 1978.
Oh, wow.
Nobody did that. Now everybody does it. But he was the guy who set up the six shows in America, New York, Chicago, Houston, Seattle, and San Francisco. And so he had that meandering, wandering, creative thing. We talked for hours. And his last art project, I just loved it. He would collect hard hats from work sites that were, you know, at the Salvation Army. And he had about 30 of them. And they have a little forest where they are, where they have the house. And his idea was to do a photo essay of all these hats, work hats, sitting on the ground in their forest. And the caption would read, "Men at Work." And I just found that wonderfully amusing and surrealistic. Anyway, I'll get a chance to sort of be with his energy, if you will.
I was going to say his presence, yeah, yeah.
And a really fine mind. But he was a word when you're obsessed about things. You're a CBD, you're a obsessive compulsive. What is that? OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah, OCD. I'm not at all.
No, I know you're not. Anyway. I slowly began to learn many other things about his OCD, and he once told me that he had collected since 1972, 672, exact number, Valium, just in case he ever needed them.
Oh my God.
And he, you know, it was not that he would ever use them, because after 20 years, you think Valium would not be there, really. But he had to have 672 of them. And it was darlingly nutty. And he collected cat whiskers when his cat's whiskers would drop, because he had intentions of making a cat tail brush for painting, because that's what they do in Japan. And you know, that kind of squirrely mind is really is so endearing. Anyway, I miss Robert very much. But what I was going to say, he and I would have these great conversations, and Sharna was always working in the kitchen or doing this, and she was the workhorse. And when he died 2 years ago now, I just decided, I know what it's like to be a widow. I'll just call her every Sunday and just to have someone to talk to. Well, it's grown into a very deep dish conversation. And, you know, I like that. It's evolved into something I didn't think it would be. So she's very glad that I'm taking care of her house. And she said, I'm so grateful that you're going to be there. And I thank you so much. And it was just nice.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's funny, too, how some things start out as, I won't say a chore, but it's something that you know, make yourself do, and you put it on the calendar and stuff like that. And then it evolves into what it has evolved into.
Yeah. So when people complain about life being bitchy and shitty and ugly, it's like there's always some little flower to look behind.
Well, I think people who find life bitchy and shitty and all the rest of it, they're seeing what they want to see.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm already starting with my grandson of like, no, that's the energy that you're bringing to the room, and that's your problem, not mine.
Right.
You know, Brendan Burchard likes to say, please be responsible for the energy you bring to this space.
Right.
You know, and if you want to bring crap and thunder and dark clouds, then, you know, go find somewhere else to do it, because don't do it in my space.
Right. I'm writing it down. I write everything down. With the energy you bring to the space. No, it's very smart. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to miss my garden, though.
will it be okay for 10 days?
Yeah, I'll get somebody to come in and water it. But I have a geronimo that's finally just a geranium. I call them geronimos. That is finally open, but it's been waiting for 5 days because it's just not been pop-up hot weather.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just blossomed in the last day. So, you know, little things are pleasing. I think there's probably some wonderful philosophy about small things bringing big wonder.
But well, an example of that is my grandson and I planted sweet peas in two garden boxes out front.
Yeah.
And they grow so quickly that it was quite joyful. And of course, he was ecstatic.
Yeah.
You know, he's 9 years old. I don't think he's ever really grown anything from a seed before. So to watch these things just go crazy, like every day you could tell they'd grown. And then one night the deer came through.
Oh.
And just watching him, he was just crushed.
Yeah.
You know, because his creation had been annihilated in the dark.
Right.
Anyways, there's something about being able to grow something. So we've netted them. And
well,
I think
here's something. Oh, that's good. So you've got more growing and they're coming.
Well,
out.
I think they'll come back.
Yes. I was going to say the one thing I do know about deer and keeping them away at bay is to wrap old video tape around the base of plants because the reflection of the light stuns them. So I had friends in Half Moon Bay years ago who had beautiful gardens of flowers and all kinds of budding things, and that's what they had to do. It was a bit ugly, but the deer didn't come around.
Well, I think, though, you're probably... Was it Deep Bay, did you say?
Half Moon Bay on...
So it's still a residential or a fairly rural area, whereas our city deer are not like normal deer.
Okay.
They don't care. They learn that everything is just a ruse by humans. If they get PO'd at the humans, they will attack.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Wow.
And it's, I get pissed off, but you know, it's scary for some people. I've got a neighbor who's downright scared to walk her dog.
You told me about the car story.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, it's, I don't know,
It reminds me of another video clip. I can't believe it. I still remember seeing it. It was a news item 10 years ago, 15, whenever it was. Powell River, I think, wherever. And it was a street in the town. And suddenly this big old bear is walking down the street. And this guy, 16-something, doesn't know what to do. He knows not to run, but he could possibly have run into a house or something. But he decided to just drop down and stay still.
Oh, you do that with a grizzly. Not
do
with
you?
A black bear.
Okay. Well, and sure enough, the bear kind of sniffed at him, but didn't do anything. I can't imagine just lying there.
Well, maybe the smell of the poop of in his pants disturbed the bear. Didn't. But no, they say that grizzlies like to kill their prey. So if you play dead, they get disgusted and walk away because they'd really rather kill you themselves.
Right.
So if you're already dead, there's no point. I mean, not necessarily. I wouldn't put money on that.
No.
But our little black bears here on the island, they just, you can usually get rid of them. They don't really want to talk to you. You can scare them often.
We're talking about nature today for some reason. It reminds me of yet another story. My friend 25 years ago made soap. Everybody was making soap then and, you know, craft festivals and soap. Everybody was doing soap. And she was quite an operation. She had 30 different flavors or scents of soap. And she had her favorite was the honey and oatmeal that she would take with her camping. And so she went camping. They did not tie things down as they should have. They came back and the place was ransacked by bears. Now, here's the catch line. The bears ate
oatmeal
and honey soap, but they left behind the tofu wieners. I always delight in that.
Oh dear, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Bears know what's real, what's not, and they'd rather eat the soap.
Well, it had honey in it, for goodness sakes.
For goodness sake, yes.
Oh dear.
So what's your day like today?
Well, it's actually an in working day and I'm really excited. I think my cold is gone enough that if I really clear out the head, I can get some additions done. Auditions.
Yes.
So I want to get going on that because I've lost a couple of weeks here. I will message Heather right away and ask her about this weekend.
And if you, even by Wednesday, if you let me know, that's fine.
Yeah, no, but I'll get on it today. Okay. And even if she needs to talk it over with Ruben tonight, I will have an answer.
Okay. So we talk tomorrow and not Wednesday.
That is correct. Now, tomorrow I've been requested to come at 10.
Okay.
So I don't know mind you, it's only 9:40 now, so I would still have time to get there. So
we could be prompt 9 a.m.
Well, if that works for you, sure.
Sure. Yep, that does.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, sounds good. I will talk with you in the morning.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Bye for now.
Bye.